my mother and father-in-law here this morning. And my mother-in-law asked me my opinion on a book for somebody. And so as I normally do, I said, well, I'll be happy to discuss this with you, but you're going to have to buy us dinner. And so out of love for her daughter, she conceded. And over dinner, we were talking about someone who was being drawn to Christ, and she is working with her. And she said something that was startling to me, and it was actually the thought that God was asking me for us to dwell on this morning. And that is, she said, I'm waiting for God to show me that I'm accepted. I'm waiting for God to show me that I'm accepted. Now, all of us who have grown up in the church, the first thing is, oh, of course you're accepted. Of course she's accepted. It's all of what Jesus has done on the cross that she's accepted. Yes, that is correct. But yet, I believe so many times we live our lives out as if we're being evaluated. As if there's still some question on whether we're accepted. Of course, we've got heaven, but yet there is a part of a performance thing that we're being evaluated on, like a job performance. The definition of evaluated is to form an idea of the value of something. To form an idea of the value of something. We live as if that's in question, that our value is in question. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Think about that. He made him who knew no sin, had no sin, to become sin for us. And so if you're contemplating, or if people contemplate, of whether or not the evaluation on their performance or their life is going to be acceptable to God, let me remove some things here. It's not going to be acceptable. We're not acceptable before God. The good thing is, we're not the ones that are being evaluated. Jesus Christ is the one who took on the sin for us, and his sacrifice is sufficient. In fact, that word sufficient even seems light. Jesus was found to have no sin. He became sin for us, that we would be the righteousness of God in him. One of the things that I don't think God's revealed the fullness of this. I know he hasn't in my life. But here's the thought. Jesus was rejected. Yes, he was rejected by man. But he was rejected by his Father when that sin was placed upon him. What is the heaviness of the evaluation process in our own lives, whether it's job or whatever? It's that we're going to be rejected, is it not? Isn't that the big fear? That I'm going to be found wanting. That there's going to be a time where I'm going to stand before somebody, a boss, a spouse, and I'm going to be rejected. Yet, in the eyes of God, for those who have committed themselves to him, that rejection is unfounded. It's not real because of this. It's not real. For those who have been found in Christ, there will not be a time where we'll be rejected by him. What was one of the last statements by Jesus on the cross? When the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. At that ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Elohi, Elohi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why did you forsake me? You know what he was quoting? Psalm 22, a prophecy about what he was doing. And so Jesus knew the prophecy, and he knew the prophecy was about him. He knew he was going to speak these very words on the cross, not from a thought that this might happen, not because this may come to happen that I'm going to be rejected. He knew he was going to be rejected. Now, why did he know that? Or why did he do that? Why would a God become one of us and know that there would be a break in relationship at some point with the very one who was sending him? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance of this and the sin which so easily entangles us. You know, one of those things that entangles us is this lie that we're believed that we're being evaluated, that we're not accepted. That entangles us. Let us throw those things off. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, what was that joy? I don't know the fullness of that. Let me throw some things out. One, for the joy set before him of the reconciled relationship with mankind and himself, with the relational ties, not only with God the Father, but with all of those who he was bringing with him into relationship. That was the joy, I believe. His joy was that this would be completed, that we would once and for all be reconciled to God, that we would not have to worry about being rejected by God. And so as I dwell on that, I think through those things, the rejection that Jesus had on the cross by his Father was planned, understood, and carried out. The rejection that we fear, those of us who have called on the name of Jesus, is rejection that won't happen. It's unfounded. It's not real. It will not occur. Because we will be found in Christ. His righteousness will be laid upon us. It is laid upon us. He was rejected one time when the sin of the world was placed upon him, that we would never have to worry about rejection again. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him as just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed upon him. This is the hope. We will not be rejected. We will stand before Christ. And as his righteousness is bestowed upon us now, it will be there when we face God. And we know, just like you stand on the doorstep of a loved one, that you will not be rejected at the doorstep, but you will be entered in. What a beautiful picture that is. And so if you're struggling with the process of evaluating yourself and evaluating your performance and evaluating whether you're going to be accepted and contemplating rejection, that's a lie. He accepts you as a result of what we will call attention and focus on this morning. Sometimes that acceptance is beautiful when God uses other people to come and to share and to pray and to engage with you in life. We're going to have a time of prayer again where there'll be some of us stationed around. Hear what I'm going to say. If God is calling you to do something, you do it. If he's calling you to stand up and go pray with somebody and demonstrate a love and acceptance and a grace by his Spirit, you do it. If God wants you to get up and go pray with somebody, have someone agree with you in prayer, do it. We will have, we'd like the elders to put themselves around and their wives. We will be there. Now, if you want to sit in your seat and you would like someone to come pray with you, if there is a time of seeking out God for healing and you want someone to come and pray with you, raise your hand. We'll come to you. Let this be a time where we all just sit and bask in the acceptance of God. In the shadow of the Almighty, that's where we rest. There's going to be soft music played, and then after that, I'll come up, and Pat, I'll ask you to come up after that and play, and we'll take then communion with a full assurance that we are accepted on behalf of the Son of God. Elders who are serving, if you can come up. As Lance said, this is a time for family. How great a love the Father has lavished on us that we would be called children of God. And as brothers and sisters, what a privilege it is to sit and to bask in the glow of the Father's presence. As we come to the table, Paul said, be introspective. In other words, where is your trust? Where is your thoughts? Where are you as far as your relationship with Christ? Is there a time now that God is calling you to come to repentance of something? Of a sense of rebellion to something he's asking of you? Saying something to you? Then be responsive to that. And so let's just take another couple minutes of making sure that we are in that place of focusing on Christ, and then we'll take together. I want to talk about acceptance. Jesus said to his disciples as he's sitting there with them, I've earnestly desired to eat this meal with you. I earnestly desired to eat this meal with you. Because I'm not going to eat it again until it's all fulfilled in the kingdom. Now, these guys are going to reject him. These guys have no clue what's going on. And yet Jesus said, I earnestly desire to eat this meal with you, knowing it is the continuation of the prophecy when he's going to be rejected by the Father. And yet for the joy of knowing that he's going to eat this once, last time, and not again until we're in the kingdom of heaven. It's an amazing thought to think and to contemplate that we do this with the hope that one day we're going to eat this last time with him, with Jesus. That's the hope that we have. Not to be rejected at the table. It reminds me of Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son. He's the one that he was running and fell and had the club foot, and he was crippled. He was fleeing, and the person carrying him dropped him, and he had that club foot or whatever that was. And yet David accepted him to the table. I'm sure he was thought he was dead. It's one last meal and he's gone. But just like Mephibosheth, we're going to be accepted around the table. That's the hope we have. Let's take. Jesus, I just want to say that it's really neat to have a meal with people and to share. And we have this excitement in our hearts that we're going to take, we're going to have this meal with you. You're going to break bread. And we're going to share that with you. The other day I was filling out a marriage license for someone. And the instructions said, must use black ink. Now, I don't know if I used red ink or blue ink, whether that would not be binding. I don't know. But I thought it's sort of comical that it had to be black ink. And some important documents obviously need that. And then I was reading what Jesus said. He said, this is the new covenant, this new promise. It's written in my blood. No other instrument would work. No other person. It wouldn't work with Abraham, didn't work with Isaac. God said, it must be a sacrifice that I provide. And Jesus said, it's me, written in my blood. This new covenant, this new life where I reside in the hearts of those I've called, purchased with the blood of Christ. Let's take together. Jesus, we long for you. Even as we take this drink, I don't know, we're captured by the thought of a life of eternity spent with you. I thank you that what you've given us in part, that which we know in part, someday we'll know in full. And I thank you that you did what you did. Jesus, I am so grateful you're alive. Your blood was spilled that gave us the opportunity of reconciled relationship. But our faith, our lives would be useless if it were not that you rose from the dead. And so, Jesus, you are alive, and we praise you. I thank you that you are the one. I thank you that you are everything that you said you were. I thank you the promise there is in you. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.